Hey, this is Maggie.
And Ashley.
And you're listening to The Watering Hole, a place where animals and animal enthusiasts regularly drink. Every episode, we'll talk about different animals and why they're cool, from basic biology to the threats they face and what people are doing about it, all while under the influence.
Beautiful.
Okay. I don't think we need the sound effect this time.
We don't need it. We just need us. It's great.
Well, after last episode, we know that we're both pretty good at animal noises.
Yeah. That's definitely something that we can add to our resumes, respectively.
I think so. Do you know that in college, there was a video of me taken by like our marketing, the entire university's marketing,
good
trying to get prospective students, a video of me giving my quote-unquote hidden talent, which was just making a pterodactyl noise.
And now for our audience's viewing pleasure,
oh, you don't want to hear this. It's so eerie. Loud.
Do you?
I mean, I can make it, I can temper it, let's be honest, I'm a professional.
Before anything, it's professional. So,
but I will also say there was a time at which it was on like my when I was go on dates and be like, this is my two truths and a lie kind of thing.
Yeah.
And there was a point where I would say that I made the dinosaur noises for Jurassic Park or Jurassic World or something.
And you're like, that is actually the truth. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
My talent, I was like redoing my dating profile, is that I can burp
on command.
My mom doesn't think that that's something I should share with people. She doesn't think it's becoming of a lady.
I mean, I think the same. Like, we're both pretty gross when we burp.
We are pretty gross. But it is. It has come in handy once.
In theater, right?
In theater. I also am really good at a blood-curdling scream.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that's come in handy twice. Once in high school, we did, in a band, we did a song called Godzilla Takes Las Vegas.
That's cool.
And one of the lines, like, in the percussion section was, like, blood-curdling scream. And I was like, excuse me.
I can do this.
And then I was in the Scottish play in college, and I got murdered twice. But the first time, me and my baby were murdered, so I screamed off stage. And the one time during rehearsal, like campus security came in and was like, we heard a scream. I was like, that was me.
Thanks. Don't mind if I...
But that one I can't do around other people because it's been a while.
It's terrifying.
So we'll see. Because it's a full body experience. Like,
that's really cool.
You have to like really commit to it, you know?
Oh my God. I
feel it in my bones.
I want to find an excuse to get you to
go,
do this.
We gotta go into the woods and scare the living shit out of some hikers. But that's like the only place. Or just in a car.
Maybe.
A moving car.
We could do it in a car. I feel like it would be fun on a hike though if I just made the pterodactyl noise and then you screamed.
It's a whole skit. It's a whole bit. We got this. We're just going to go around terrorizing people.
And then you
the
just
DC
start. And then, like,
area.
We run and we're like, there's a velociraptor back there.
Run, guys, run. I think this is great. I think this is perfect.
Oh, man. I'm into it.
All right. That's perfect.
So, is there anything else that we want to talk about?
I wanted to show you something.
Aw.
It's very exciting. I got to go get it.
Did you? Okay.
I went to Goodwill, because it was my happy place, last week. And I was looking for clothes. I found very few, but I did find something.
I can't wait. Can I tell the audience while you're getting that what I got at Goodwill this weekend?
Yeah.
So I went shopping at Goodwill, and I felt like Macklemore because I got some really cool...
You got some good jackets.
I saw some really great jackets.
Especially because I was looking for jackets at the same Goodwill like a week before and found nothing.
Well, so I sent pictures to our group chat, all of the friends of the pod, and I was like...
You were less than supportive.
I know. I was like, guys, is this fashion? And everybody made fun of my favorite of the jackets that I sent, and they were like, you look like Fozzie Bear. And then just for the sole purpose of being able to say waka waka while wearing it, I got the jacket.
Teddy bear jackets are like very in though.
They're very fashionable.
So for $7, what a fucking find.
I feel great. I feel like Macklemore. Okay. I can't wait to see what you got. I saw it's green.
It is green. So I got it for $9 at Goodwill. And it is, It is called Illustrated Wildlife Treasury.
What is this? Let's see it.
And I looked it up. They were made in 1975 to 1981. And basically, it's like just a bunch of illustrated cards of like different wild species.
What? Oh, look at the blue whale.
But the one that got me is when I was flipping through.
No!
Is that Sicilian was one of the first ones that came up.
The Sicilian. Oh, it's like a worm.
So I haven't like fully gone through it. But I saw it and I was like, oh yeah, you're coming home with me for sure. But I just like, I love like old shit, old wildlife shit. And like growing up, we had like these illustrated books. I'll have to find them when I'm home this weekend of like, I remember that like each page that you would like clip into a binder and it was like a different species.
Yeah,
and I feel
yeah,
like that started
those.
A lot of who I am. So finding this was very exciting.
This is so cool. Okay, so really quick, a couple throwback episodes ago, we were talking about inappropriate bird names.
Uh-huh.
Here's the Southern Screamer.
Ooh!
But also, I just pulled out the Cape Petrel, which I think are really beautiful. Like, this is a terrible photo of one.
Yeah.
But I've seen them in the wild. They're beautiful petrel species. But on the back, the little subhead for the Cape Petrel is a bird that cannot walk.
Oh, no.
So they have subheads.
Frigate bird.
Frigate bird.
I just
pulled
it out.
Oh, Justin.
A fighting name and the manners of a pirate.
That's exactly what Justin called them.
It really is. Oh, I didn't even know. Paradise fish, a raft of bubbles.
Cheetah, like a streak of lightning. Wow.
Pike, teeth that can't let go. I didn't know about the names. Maggie. It's the palace cat.
What is that noise I just made?
I don't know. It wasn't what I was expecting. It does not have a name, an extra.
Why doesn't it have a name?
We should do a whole separate video where we just go through.
And talk about our favorite.
I like that guinea pig is one of the ones as well.
I know. I just saw the guinea pig. I just passed
it.
Oh,
there's a guinea pig. But yeah, isn't this fun?
This is so much fun.
Yeah,
fun.
1975 to 1981 is when these
were
created.
Oh, wait, hang on. We got to talk about this one.
What?
The face mite.
Oh!
Everybody, these are on your face when you wake up in the middle of the morning. They live in your pores, and at the night while you're sleeping, they crawl out of your pores to mate on your face, and then they go back in your pores. I'm not kidding. This is an unsuspected parasite. We all have them.
I hate you.
I hate that. It lives in the oily glands of your face, often in your blackheads.
You've ruined it.
Okay,
sorry.
So let's get into
this is zebra mouse, and its line is a mouse that sleeps at night. Okay.
That's cool.
Like the rest of us? but yeah, that's all I had to share.
Wow, what
I forgot.
A great
I've been holding on this for 2 weeks ready to share.
That is so cool. Thank you, whoever gave that to Goodwill.
Right?
It is in good hands.
Got it for $9. Excited to dig through my little treasury.
Oh, let's do a bonus episode on that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right.
That's all I got.
Wow, what a good... I hope everyone got excited like us.
Did you see that?
No.
Okay, good. My animal was wide open.
I'm not paying attention to you.
Never.
All right, so... just gonna steamroll past that. are you ready? I have a hint. Don't worry, I'm...
So thrown off that you have a hint.
It's okay. I didn't come up with it.
Okay.
Okay. It's old as fuck and it's got crusty eyeballs.
My first thought was grandpa. I don't think his eyeballs are crusty. Oh, he did have eye surgery a little bit ago. Old as fuck and it's got crusty eyeballs?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it. Is it the Greenland shark?
It is.
What? It's got crusty eyeballs?
Oh, yeah.
It's hydrated. It's in water.
No. We're going to find out why. It's gross.
It was only a matter of time.
I know.
It was only a matter of time.
I had to go through our species list to be like,
did
we not talk about it?
Right? Should probably update that.
So, I did today.
Good, good, good.
She's so its good. Latin name is somniosis.
Crustiosis.
Microphallus.
Oh, does it have a tiny dick? You know it's driving a loud car.
You know, I had to look that up. Somni means sleep.
Okay.
Microphallus actually means small head.
Okay.
That's what they're saying. Ah, so the Greenland shark, everybody. Oh my gosh. It is
they are crusty.
It is the longest living vertebrate known to man. That's probably true, maybe true. We don't know. We don't know fuck. All right.
We don't know nothing.
So how do we know how old they are? Because it's not like you can just go ask a shark, how old are you?
You could. You wouldn't get much of a response.
Okay, fair. And it's also not like they're trees where you can count their rings.
You can't just cut them open and be like...
They're also not bony animals where you could check their bones because they're made of cartilage. So how do we know how old they are? Well,
check their candles on their birthday cake?
I was just going to say, turns out there was a store at the bottom of the ocean. Just kidding. like the balloons down there.
I got you. It was good.
Turns out... thermonuclear testing left bomb-produced radiocarbon in the atmosphere that has now been incorporated into marine food webs. Great job, humans.
But the one benefit, it seems, is that maybe it tells us how old these sharks are.
Like, isn't it just horrible that the shit we produce is just now infiltrated all of the planet?
It's just everywhere.
Like, to this day, we've known this for, like, probably over 15 years that we ingest plastic on a daily. Mm-hmm. It still just disgusts the fuck out of me.
That's gross.
Anyway. Okay, so, traces of this radioactive carbon can be found in the eyes of Greenland sharks, born around or after testing, because lens tissue proteins in the eyes don't change throughout one's lifetime. At least for these sharks. I don't know if
that's... All of a sudden, I feel my eyes a lot.
Using the growth rate of their eyeballs, they were able to compare that with the trace of the radioactive carbon. And the oldest animal in the study was 392 years, plus or minus 120.
Plus or minus. So... what's 120 years, you know?
Once you're over 350...
Doesn't matter.
What's another 100?
Damn it. That's old.
So not only are these guys old as fuck, but they are also huge. Whoa. So if you listen to our last episode, I was talking about an animal that grows to be 6.5 meters, the gharial.
I also didn't remember what it was. And it was less than an hour ago.
30 minutes ago. So the Greenland shark can grow to be the same length, but they can grow up to be a ton. So they're very heavy.
They're dense.
They're a big old boy or girl.
That is thick.
Well, you got to be.
With six C's.
When you live up north.
That's true.
In the very cold waters, you need a lot of blubber and fat to keep warm because it's very cold up there. As I said, they live in the North Atlantic waters. I always thought that they just hung out around the sea floor, but they move up and down the water column, turns out. Here's the gross thing about their crusty eyeballs.
Uh-huh.
I did not know this, and I didn't want to know this. Parasites live on their eyeballs. On. It's a crustacean, and it's just a complete disgust of nature, I wrote.
A complete disgust of nature.
I don't think that's not correct English.
That's not a phrase.
That's how I felt. 98.9% of Greenland sharks have these parasites, and of course it blinds them. So the female parasites, this stupid crustacean, they will have like long eggs. And so if you Google Greenland shark, you're going to see some photos where, like, they just have this long thing hanging off their eye.
It's just a parasite?
It's a parasite. And,
I don't like that.
So you live to be a 500, but, like, at what cost?
Right. This reminds me of me in middle school.
I don't like where this is going.
Just you wait. No, it was a running... I mean, it still is, to this day, a running joke in our family, that things tend to fly into my eyes, that they're big and that... my eyes just catch things. So one time we were on a hike and I was like 12. Mm-hmm. We're on a hike and a bug flew into my eye and I could feel it moving around. And so I'm standing there like panicking as a 12-year-old being like, somebody help me. Like, how do I get this out of my eye? And I distinctly remember like both of my older sisters and my dad turning, looking at me, and then turning back around and walking away. And like one of them was like, just blink hard. to squish it and kill it. Which is what I had to do, and then like scraped it out of my eye. And then like, yeah, for like the next like 5 years, bugs would like always fly into my eyes. So we're like, oh, if you ever have a bug problem, just send Ashley in and just like look around with my eyes wide. I'll catch all the bugs. But yeah, so my family's really sensitive to young women.
I feel like a lot happened to you when you were 12. Like, you had that...
Older sisters is rough.
Just, you had the dyed hair. You had the pimply
middle school,
face.
Middle school was rough, but for, like, none of the normal reasons for me. Like, I didn't get picked on by people, like, by, like, school members. It was my own family. That's who it was. And it was all through love.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Did I ever tell you that my nickname, they called me Ashtray once, my sisters, instead of Ashley. And they also called me Aspie. And I cried at both of those names.
Older sisters are pretty awful, I can attest.
I mean...
Sorry.
They turn out great. Love them to death.
Right, right. But getting there is tough. But
I mean, to be fair, I was a horrible child.
Like, really? You were?
Have I never told you this?
No. What did you do?
I was a demon growing up.
What?
I would just scream and yell. I used to slap my sister's friends for no apparent reason.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I was horrendous.
Oh, I was an angel.
Like, I want children, but I don't want me as a child.
My mom always said that if she had had me first, she would have had a ton of kids.
Oh, really? Wow, that is not what my mom has, like, blanked out parts of my childhood because of how horrible I was. I was great in public, though. Like, I was fine in public. But at home, I was a demon.
Were you just trying to get attention? Were you trying to be funny?
I think, like, part of it was that I had, like, older sisters. Like, I would notoriously scream at bedtime because I wanted to stay up because my sister, who was 8 years older than me, was up. So, obviously, she was still awake. And I would, like, scream at the top of the stairs. Oh, and then they would come upstairs and I would have been passed out at the top of the stairs because I fell asleep screaming.
Oh, my God. That's
horrible.
Miserable.
Anyway, so I am a Greenland shark. Was that where I was going with that?
You're old and crusty?
Let's get back to the animals and not talk about my childhood.
Oh, my God.
That is not this podcast.
Ashley's childhood. Ashley's childhood trauma.
And the trauma she caused.
Tune in next week. All right, so back to the Greenland shark. They're very, very slow. It's cold. Lots of animals move slowly in the cold, right?
Why move fast?
Why? They're the slowest of all fish.
Damn!
They swim at 1 kilometer an hour. They can't go any faster.
I think they're just floating more than anything.
Like, they're slower than a mola mola.
Damn!
Yeah.
Those things barely move. They look like they're dead most of the time.
They do look like they are something dead. That's it. That's all it is.
Perfect.
Okay, so because these parasites make them go blind, they don't really have much in the way of eyesight, but fortunately they rely on smelling, we think. We don't know a ton about their hunting habits. We just know that, like, pretty much up north it's low light environment, but they've got to be using their sense of smell to get food. They will eat whatever. But it's...
Same.
You won't eat what... Well...
I know.
I mean, you did eat sausage a couple weeks ago. What they will eat... I said that they'll eat just about anything.
Oh, that's how we got there.
What I think is really interesting, though, is, like, their stomachs have been... When a Greenland shark is found dead, their stomachs will be opened up, and they'll have anything from cephalopods and fish to... small cetaceans, and even one was notoriously found as having a horse in its stomach.
I remember this story.
And I think this is just fascinating. So that is kind of suggestive to their hunting habits, and like they're probably scavengers. Like, they'll eat carcasses and whatnot. Is that enough?
Yeah.
You want more?
That's good.
You want the rest of the bottle? Like,
I ask her to pour me a little bit, and all of a sudden I'm an alcoholic.
You're the one
who left mid-animal to get more wine.
give me a third drink and I get a little judgy.
Woo woo!
All right, so...
I don't think it's a third drink that makes you judgy.
It's a lot of things that make me judgy. All right. Like, not using your blinker, I will judge you till the cows come home. So they were hunted by Greenland fishermen just because, which is really sad, like, because they're so slow.
They weren't even eaten? Were they eaten?
So there's a lot to this, and there was more than I was willing to write down, but they also absorb a lot of other chemicals and not mm-hmm. radioactive just, but other things in the water column. So they're actually kind of
gross
and toxic to the point where
there's a lot of like big fish, they absorb a lot of toxins, right?
Yeah. So if you
bioaccumulation,
Greenland sharks, if fermented, the meat will actually give you kind of like a drunken state, kind of high thing.
Should do that for an episode.
We should have some Greenland shark. No, I don't condone that.
Okay.
So there's more in it that I actually was reading about in our book.
Ooh! Maggie says our book because we both bought it.
We both bought it. Okay. Their bodies accumulate high concentrations of contaminants, such as PCB or DDT.
Oh, fuck.
Right. So they naturally...
killed the condors.
Yeah. They also naturally contain high levels of trimethylamine and oxide. It's a substance that improves buoyancy, but it acts as an antifreeze for body fluids and stuff. Anyway, this toxic meat can only be eaten after processing, but it can still give you kind of like a drunken state when eating it. So to answer your question, they hunted them not necessarily to eat. They just hunted them because they were huge and very slow moving. So it was kind of like
Look what I did. Trophy fishing,
you know.
Gross.
They are IUCN listed as vulnerable. I think it just out of sheer respect to an animal that can live up to 500 years, we shouldn't fucking let them go extinct. We need to protect them. Just respect your elders, folks. That's it.
All those fuck fish, we gotta respect them.
I know.
I've said it once, and I'll say it again. Respect the old fish.
Nothing beats an old fish.
Nothing beats an old fish. We have said that.
Throw back.
We'll say it again.
So that is your Greenland shark,
madam. Damn!
Yes.
Damn wild.
Thank you.
That's insane. That's a big fish. That's a great movie, Big Fish.
I love that movie.
It's good. Ewan McGregor.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time. Like, there are quotes in that movie that I just think are beautiful to life.
All right, you ready for this?
Yeah. Y'all ready for this? Okay.
The clue's not very good because I came up with it while you were Googling something. But I forgot to add a clue after burp.
Oh, look. Somebody else forgot. I understand you forget to come up with a clue.
I wrote clue and then didn't put anything. Okay. This is ready? It's simple. That's what we're going for here. Also, I really don't know what other clue I could give.
Blah, blah, blah.
My last clue is pretty good. Okay, ready? This is an animal. It's loud with long arms.
It's a howler monkey?
No, but you're close.
Spider monkey?
Nope.
Is it a monkey?
It is a primate.
What continent is it found on?
Asian continents.
It's an orangutan?
No. Lesser.
So it's smaller?
It's a lesser ape. There's the great apes and there's lesser apes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Lesser.
Lesser. Go lower, please.
Do I know it?
I think so. Maybe, I mean, you know I think so.
Well, I'm blanking right now.
It's a Siamang.
Oh, I don't know if I know it.
It's a kind of gibbon. It's the largest of the gibbons.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Once I describe it, you'll know what it is.
All right. Largest of the gibbons just rings a bell, so that's fair. It's
okay.
Probably like mannequin birds where like I've seen them
just never know the name.
Yeah.
So I'm doing the Siamang or Symphalangus syndactylus.
Great. Love it every time.
Like I mentioned, it's the largest of the gibbons, but I realize that not everyone knows what a gibbon is.
Mm-hmm.
So what is a gibbon? They are lesser apes in the family Hylobatidae. They're found in subtropical and tropical rainforests from eastern Bangladesh to northeast India to southern China and Indonesia. So what is meant by a lesser ape? So our great apes are chimps, bonobos, gorillas, orangutans, and all the variations in between. Lesser apes are just typically smaller. They show less sexual dimorphism, so males and females look more similar, mm-hmm. And they don't make nests, which felt weirdly specific.
They don't need a home.
But generally speaking, so they are smaller. And really, I think the main quality to really focus on is that they have really fucking long arms.
Yeah, because they're great at climbing, yeah?
They're great at...
and swinging and...
brachiating. When an animal, a monkey or some kind of primate brachiates, it's when they fully swing, like, from branch to branch. Like, they're not stopping to, like... they're, like, full moving like a pendulum, like, using that momentum to move. Like,
yeah,
it's legit. It's called brachiating.
I feel like this is probably what King Louis presides over in the Jungle Book.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Great.
But so their arms are really long. Their arms are longer than their legs, which is so funny when you watch them walk around because they are bipedal, so they'll walk around on two legs. And their arms are just, like, really long.
Dragging? I mean,
they're mainly swinging. That's how they like to get around.
Right,
but when they walk, they walk on two legs. And Siamang, the arms can be 2.5 times the length of their body. They're just incredibly long. Very, very long.
Very, very long.
But back to Siamangs in particular, you'll know them because they have long, dense, shaggy black fur. I think they have them at the National Zoo.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Like I said, they are the biggest of the gibbons. They reach a height of 3.3 feet and they weigh up to 31 pounds. A lot of them were like 27 pounds, but you know, who cares? You know, we're not.
Oh, yeah, I know these guys. Okay.
Yeah. My favorite was this quote from Wikipedia: "The face of this large gibbon is mostly hairless, apart from a thin mustache," which just made them seem so creepy, because nothing is worse than a thin mustache.
Oh, one of my buddies has a thin mustache.
No.
And I just don't
have
the heart to
tell
him.
If you're not approaching Tom Selleck, don't try, because it's not cute.
It's
pedophilic.
I don't know how to tell him this. He would look so much... he would be a gorgeous human if
Why?
He just got rid of his thin mustache.
I'm not... here for the thin mustaches.
No.
Pencil stash? No.
No.
I'm sorry.
No.
Are you a shitty 40s detective? Then get out of here.
Yeah.
But I thought that was really funny.
Okay. Also, when I just Googled these guys, I immediately hear what they sound like, which I know you're going to get into, but you said that was part of your hint.
Yes.
So I know, once again, like Mannequin Birds, yes, do know you're, these guys. I just
you're
did
on
not.
Board. Gotcha. Yeah. So two features other than their size that distinguish them from other gibbons. They have two digits on their second and third toes that are joined by a membrane, so they're, like, slightly webbed.
Uh-huh.
Like, feels meaningless, but okay.
No, I bet it helps with the climbing.
I guess so.
Because it's a little bit more strength to grab onto, yeah?
I guess so. When I always think of membranes, I think of, like, swimming, you know?
It's like, protective, probably, because branches aren't always smooth.
What? The sass has come out. I'm so sorry. But I think the more important thing is that they have a large gular sac.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about gular sacs.
We love a good gular sac.
We love a good gular sac that can be inflated to the size of their head.
I love it.
One said grapefruit, but this other one said size of their head, and that is what we're going for.
Mm-hmm.
To make giant resonating calls.
You know,
this is true in both males and females, so it's not specific to one sex.
You know, if you want to impress me,
get a gular sack.
Just inflate your gular sack.
Hell yeah, baby.
Screech at me, and I'll come running.
Nice. Good to know. Boys, note that. Put that on your Bumble profile.
I have a large gular sack.
I also thought it was important to note that they have an opposable big toe. I kind of do,
you
too.
You love talking about your picking up stuff.
I'm very good at picking up things with my toes.
I know we talked about this before, but just a couple weeks ago, I was thinking about that time when we were talking about being prehensile with our feet.
Okay.
Don't worry. It's not... because I don't necessarily pick things... I do. I can pick things up with my feet,
mm-hmm.
but... I am instead often, like, multitasking with my feet, particularly in the kitchen. So, like,
uh-huh.
I'll grab something over here.
Seems
I'll need
unsanitary.
Something. Listen, all I do is open and close cabinets.
Okay.
With my feet. This sounded so much more normal in my head.
No, it's good. Keep going.
No, don't you ever, like, you're like, I need a pot here. I need to turn on the oven. And I need to open the fridge.
And I just reach my foot up and I'm like, what? Turn it on. Well, click, click, click.
The cabinets are down at foot level. All you have to do is just be like, oh, it's open already. And yeah. So now I just fling it open with my hand and I grab the pot quickly. And then I'm opening up the fridge really quick because, and it's already open by the
time I get
there.
No, I totally know what you're talking about.
Like,
but
I'm extending all of my limbs and using all of them because time is of the essence here.
I know, but I like the idea that you're not just opening the cabinet with your foot, you're pulling out the pot with your foot. It's so much better as a visual, you know?
Grab it.
Okay, let's
talk more about these opposable toes.
That was the only thing.
Great.
That they have them. I had so many tangents to go off of, but none of them quite fit, so maybe they'll come in later.
Okay. What kind of tangent? Okay. You don't have to have a segue.
So I have a story about a banana. The other day.
Don't we all?
Because I was just thinking, like, I have a tendency to hold a lot of things in my mouth, like, told you it wasn't going to go well. That reminded me, one time I was, like, walking around.
Don't mind my face at you right now.
It was all so bad. It was so harmless. No, I was, like, going through my bag looking for something, but I was also eating a banana. But I was like, okay, well, I need both my hands. So I just, like, had the banana, like, in my mouth.
Uh-huh.
I was eating a banana on the way to work. Got on the metro, I put the banana in, I had like a bag of a bunch of shit I had to bring into work. I put the banana, half the banana in there. I get out of the metro, I'm waiting to cross the street, so I pull out the banana to eat it. And I was holding it from the bottom and I was peeling it, and the banana just fell straight into the street, and then slowly rolled into the gutter and disappeared forever. And I was already having a rough day. It was like one of those days where you get an email at 8:30 a.m. and you're like, okay, so today's going to suck. So I lose my banana and I'm just staring at it like laughing. And the woman next to me saw the entire thing go on. And I'm just like sitting there like, what do I do? And she looks at me and she goes, it was just a banana. I was like, I know. And it just poof, and then it went do 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 do, and then it cleaned itself up.
Some rat's enjoying that banana,
right? Good for that rat.
Also, I love the lady. It was just
well, because I was sitting there like I like chuckling to myself, and I could tell she had seen it too. I kind of mentioned where they live. The forest remnants of Sumatra Island and the Malay Peninsula. They're widely distributed from lowland forest to mountain forest, even into the rainforest, and can be found at altitudes of 3,800 meters. Moving on.
I don't know what you're saying.
No, you don't. And you don't even care. Importantly, they share this habitat fairly amicably with the agile gibbon and the lar gibbon. So, two of their species. Lar. L-A-R.
Okay.
Lar gibbon. And then I had a note about how they brachiate through the forest.
Oh, so cool.
Which we already talked about a little bit.
Pros swinging, at the monkey bars.
Swinging like a pendulum.
Yeah.
So when they're moving slowly and they're swinging from branch to branch, they'll grab one branch before they release the other. But basically they like project their bodies through the air so they can fly 25 to 32 feet between branches.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's really...
That's a big pendulum.
Did you hit yourself?
A little bit.
It
didn't hurt, though.
That's so cool. I mean, to watch that in the wild would be really, really neat.
As someone who struggled with monkey bars growing up, like, that is very impressive. Growing up, like, I can do monkey bars now. I'm strongest as I've ever been.
Can you fix your hair?
No.
Okay.
I think it was perfect.
It was just, like, it was sitting on your
glasses?
Glass lens.
But now I still have very little upper body strength. Anyway, moving on. So behavior-wise, they live in groups of up to 6 individuals. Usually it's a dominant male, a dominant female, whatever offspring they have until they get old enough. And then sometimes a sub-adult is in the mix as well.
Interesting. So not very big family units. No. But it's almost like an immediate family with maybe an aunt or an aunt.
Yeah.
Or an aunt. The like an weird, aunt or an uncle.
The weird aunt. Weird.
I said an aunt or an aunt.
An aunt or an aunt. They're basic. They're very different things. They're known for having monogamous mating pairs, and males actually share a good amount of paternal care for the young. Okay. Once the young, the infants reach, like, they're no longer infants, but once they reach, like, 9 months of age and are less dependent on the mom, they're known to carry them around, a good deal for the second year of their life.
You know, yeah.
But they kind of do a lot of the normal things as a group. They do a lot of foraging as a unit. Lots of grooming is important to maintain those social bonds. But most importantly is that they're communicating with each other via these big old throw pouches that they got. Yeah. So my favorite was this quote. They might also communicate by using their throw pouches and shouts to communicate when they feel excited, relaxed, trying to mate, or threatened. I was like, okay, so all the time?
Yeah.
Just like... all the time. Like, let's not pretend like you're saying anything unique here. I was apparently very sassy with Wikipedia, which, what's new? But here are some gibbon noises. You might... but it's really cool to watch them because, like, there's different noises depending on, like... like, the more, like, one is the throat pouch, but then, like, the more yelpy one is, like, just... is more, like... it's so good!
Do you hear that noise, Argos?
Are they communicating with you?
He's so cross-eyed right now. It's really sad.
But yeah, they're just super, super cool. And I will say I do have a personal connection.
Yeah, tell me.
Because I did one of my... first big trips when I was in college, I went to Indonesia. Yeah. And one of, like, the first couple of days we went out and we heard siamangs and we went and followed them through the forest so that we could actually see them. But you hear them before you see them.
Yeah, of course.
So hearing these, like, beautiful noises.
It is a really it's not like a howler monkey where it's just like,
it's not just pure chaos. Like, right. There is, like, screaming, shouting, but, like, oftentimes, like, they're known for, like, basically singing, like, through the forest. Very beautiful.
You might have mentioned this and I just already forget it. How far away can we hear their calls? Especially because you just mentioned your personal connection of hearing them and then going to find them.
No, that's a great question. And I will answer it in just a second. How far away can siamang calls be heard? Up to 2 miles away.
That's like howler monkeys. Yeah, that's
nice,
pretty cool.
Big, very far.
Oh,
very loud.
Very cool.
So they sing, they make these, like, deep booms, as you kind of heard. Also described, they make loud wows. So people, yeah, that was pretty. Damn, Maggie!
Thank you.
That was very good. Yes. So, yeah, they're very they're known for being very, very vocal. And it's really cool to also just watch them because, like, you can, like,
you can see the noise they're
it's
making almost.
Just so cool.
Yeah. What a cool... animal.
Right?
How are they doing?
Terms, well, I was going to tell you quick what they ate.
Oh.
And then I'll tell you how they're doing.
Okay.
Because that was the last information I had. 60% of their diet is fruit, but they eat like 160 different species of plants.
Whoa.
And apparently they fucking love figs. These are the notes I took.
Me too.
I don't know that I like figs.
Oh, I was eating them the other day. I told somebody and they're like, what kind of fucking diet do you eat?
I feel like the only time I have figs is like on a fancy pizza or something. Right?
You're funny.
I know. They also eat insects, bird eggs, small vertebrates, but a lot of fruit. In terms of threats.
Yeah.
Like you were asking.
Tell me.
They are endangered. Mm. Their numbers have declined by 50% over the past 40 years.
Fuck.
Primarily because of the illegal pet trade and habitat loss.
So people keep them as pets?
So the big issue is that people will kill the adults so that they can keep the infants as pets. Which is fucked up. So that's that. And then habitat destruction and degradation, either from commercial timber trade, harvesting, conversion of land to agriculture, primarily for palm oil. Again, these guys live in Indonesia, which is, that's like palm oil is a huge thing there. So that's a thing that poses a threat to all arboreal species. Mm-hmm. But definitely these guys who spend a lot of time in the trees.
A lot of Southeast Asian animals are critically endangered because of palm oil and other monoculture development.
Yeah. Converting that forest into just horrible agricultural lands.
Oh my God, it's awful.
Yeah.
What a cool animal. I mean, just their beautiful calls.
Right? Like, they're just so cool.
Do you
want to
not be able to hear that forever? Like, come on, humans, do better.
But yeah, I forgot how much. Siamese and gibbons. Growing up, at one point, I got like some, like, one of those, like, stuffed animal, and it was a gibbon. It wasn't a Siamese because it was, like, brownish or light brown. And it was, like, the Velcro arm ones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was fucking obsessed with it, man.
So cool.
I thought it was just the
coolest thing.
You can
hang it from anywhere. Did I ever tell you about when in third grade we had a whole thing on like the rainforest, and I just became so obsessed with it because this is also when I was watching like Kratz Creatures and stuff, and so I turned my bedroom into the rainforest, and so my parents got me like sheets that were jungle themed.
Nice.
I hung vines from my room. I had my parents went out with me and we got stuffed animals that could be found in the rainforest.
Are you sure this isn't your coon apartment that you just moved into?
Might be.
I'll come visit and it's full rainforest glam, like you just got back from a rainforest cafe.
Oh my God. Honestly, that'd be so fun.
Let's find a rainforest cafe. The thunderstorms happen.
Oh,
so good.
I love it.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was lovely. But this is the real kind of amazing animal. The gibbons, animals like gibbons, just one feature about them, their calls to me, is like, that makes them so unique and stand out. And it's like, wow, I want to hear more about that.
I just want to listen to them.
Yeah.
Right now my morning alarm is bird calls. What if it was gibbon calls?
I was just going to say, have you ever woken up to that kind of sound?
I woke up to howler monkeys, like a group of them on our roof in Belize. Like like the rat times
running.
20. Yeah, running across.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah,
I woke up
it's
to
not beautiful. It's horrifying.
I woke up to howler monkeys in Panama, but they were actually howling.
It was just like, oh, cute.
It was nice.
Cute. Not them running over your roof.
That's terrifying.
Anyway. Just a reminder, though we are animal enthusiasts, we are not scientists, so please don't cite us in your academic papers.
Or like anything professional.
Right?
Just academic papers.
I usually skip over that line because I'm just like, who in their right mind is taking us? Seriously. But do your own research. That's all we want to say. We just want you to get excited about animals like we are. Oh, I keep going.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us on this episode. If you like our podcast, make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening and leave us a review. It'll help us reach more animal enthusiasts like you. You can also find us on Instagram at The Watering Hole Pod or YouTube at The Watering Hole Pod. Fuck that up. And you can visit our website, thewateringholepod.com. Tune in next time when we learn about more animals, their biology and habitat, the threats they face, and what people are doing about it.